Good afternoon, Rangel. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m. We have our guests, Carol Rushmore with the city and Esther Ashton with the tribe. And they are here to talk about the 2020 census and how that matters to Rangel. So you can call in anytime during this program to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. Esther and Carol, thank you for coming in.
You bet.
Thanks for having us, June.
Okay. So that we know that the census is a federal effort, is an obligation of our federal government. So I'm wondering, why is the tribe interested and why is the city interested?
This is extremely important for the state of Alaska, the municipalities, and the tribes all over the state. So there are programs that are based on the population within your area, statewide or within the community. And so if we are undercounted, we will lose out in the benefits of some of those programs from a financial standpoint. And there's billions of dollars that go to all the different communities in the states. And those are then distributed out in the various programs. And by having the count, we can benefit our community with those different programs.
And so, okay, so we know that there are federal dollars that the state gets. You're saying about it, this is upwards in the billions.
Yes.
You know, could we say for the tribe and for the city, how much federal dollars are we getting?
So I do have the figure that Alaska as a whole receives currently about $3.5 billion in federal funding annually based on the U.S. Census. And I don't know how the city is impacted. A lot of our programs aren't necessarily directly impacted by the census. Yeah. But for example, if you are Alaska Native but you're not counted properly, some of those programs could lose $3,500 per person per year for programs like Head Start, SNAP, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, TANF, which is Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, and WIC, which affects all of our citizens.
Educational funding is one of those. The school lunch program is some of those that affect kids. I mean, it's just across the whole spectrum of different types of agency and their programs.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so we're talking about public assistance. We're also talking about education, infrastructure. All these things can be supported in our community by federal dollars. And the census matters. So, you know, do give me a sense of if the feds are going to count and they have a lot of resources to do so, why do you feel like the city needs to step in, the tribe needs to step in to make sure everyone is counted?
So, okay, 10 years ago, it's done every 10 years, and 10 years ago, Alaska had the lowest response, and Wrangell's initial response was extremely low. So trying to get, I think it was like 60% of the population responded. So trying to get the other 40%, which we didn't meet, was really time-consuming and very challenging to encourage people to respond. So what's happened is the state of Alaska, with a lot of private partners, have created what's called the Alaska Count Committee. And they are the ones that are sort of spearheading the statewide outreach to communities, to individuals. And so we've been working with them, and most of the communities have set up these internal local Alaska Count Committees in order to get their education outreach to the local populace to encourage them to respond. So, because it will benefit our residents, our community, and as well as the state. So the local count committee includes Parks and Rec, the library, the tribe, Alaska Housing, Salvation Army, the Ministerial Association. I know I'm forgetting some people, but
LIO office.
The LIO office. So we've collected a lot of folks around the community that have really good outreach on their own to try to educate the public that it is safe, it's very quick, and it's extremely important.
And as Carol's saying that, it brought to mind one fact that someone, what was her name that came in, Barb, with the census committee, was telling us that a lot of people are concerned about filling it out for confidentiality purposes and things of that sort, but it really is totally confidential, and there are less questions on the census than what you have to answer when you fill out your application for your permanent fund dividend.
And it takes about 10 minutes. There's 10 questions, 10 minutes for 10 years of benefits. That's why it's so important.
Absolutely. Yeah, so people will be receiving that questionnaire.
Yeah, so the actual online census starts March 12th. Mm. So most people will be getting their census packet on their doorknob because we don't have mail delivery service here, so it'll be put on their doorknob. There's a identifying number on that, so you can mail it in. You can call in with your answers. You can do it online, or you can do it in person with a census employee if you want to do that as well. But online, you can start doing it on March 12th, and you don't have to have that identifier number. It'll walk you through a series of steps to get your residential location so that you won't be counted twice.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. So, Carol, like you mentioned, Alaska had a low response rate. Why is that? Why did Wrangell and the state as a whole not respond?
Part of what they found out is just because in the rural communities, especially in very remote communities, there's not a great understanding of what the census importance is, and then how to answer it. There were language discrepancies. There was, just lack of information and knowledge of the importance. There was also access and the ability for people to be able to fill out the forms. So I think there was a lot of things that came into it. There's also just a natural distrust of the federal government. And so people, not going to fill it out. So there's been a huge effort this time around to really educate the people on how important it is for the state in these times.
And as an additional way to try to encourage people and help people fill out the census, we, as the committee, have sort of put together a census day where our community can come to specific locations on April 1st. The tribe is going to have in our conference room computers set up. People can come from 9 to 4 to our office. And we'll have food and some door prizes, and people can come and we will assist them in filling out the census. It's obviously preferable if they bring their packet with that identifier number, but we're going to have that open from them. And then Carol has information on the other two locations.
Yeah, there's April 1st is the actual official census day. Where you're located on April 1st or where you live is where you're supposed to be counted. So the tribe will be having assistance on that day. The Salvation Army is going to be having assistance on that day. And then the library will be offering assistance to fill out the forms.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it'll be a good day.
Yeah, so we're gearing up to Census Day.
During the health fair on April 4th, we'll have a table as well that we can help assist people too.
Okay, great. Yeah. So, what other message do you want to give out about the census? So you mentioned, there is some mistrust of the federal government, even though this is something that they are obligated to do. They've been doing it for forever. What are things that you want to let people know about the census and why it is important?
So there are a couple of questions on the census that may have some misunderstanding as far as potentially the best way to answer those questions for different households. And this comes specifically from a tribal standpoint. So I believe it is question 5. Where it asks for person number one. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are in a household where you have an Alaskan Native and also a non-Native, and you list that non-Native as person one, the whole household is counted as non-Native because of that person one is listed. If you were to put the native person as person one, then that household is automatically considered a native household for funding purposes. And the person one does not have to be the person who pays all the bills. It doesn't matter whether it's male or female. It's just important if you have an Alaska Native in that household that that person be listed as person one. And then the other question that there could be potential for misunderstanding would be question number nine, which is tribal affiliation. And this is something that the Alaska Federation of Natives is putting a lot of information out about these two specific questions. But question number nine with tribal affiliation is supposed to, where on that question, you're supposed to list your federally recognized tribe. So if you live in Wrangell, okay, for example, I'm originally from Cake. If I had not switched my tribal membership to the Wrangell Cooperative Association and I was still a member of the Organized Village of Cake, on that question, I would write Organized Village of Cake. If you have more than one tribal affiliation, you can list both. So what they're looking for there is your federally recognized tribe as opposed to, say, putting Tlingit or Athabasca in there. They're looking for that actual government name. And the reason why those are important relates to things like NAHASDA, where some of those funding dollars, like for housing, are dependent on which households identify as Alaska Native and not.
Okay. Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a lot of emphasis in the census about race and ethnicity, and, you know, it can be confusing in some regards, you know. So basically, when we're thinking about Native folk, you know, somebody is going to consider themselves Native, certainly if they are part of the Wrangell Cooperative Association. You know, what if somebody is not part of the Wrangell Cooperative Association, but they are Native? You know, what does that look like for people?
Yeah, so you put whichever tribe you're affiliated with. If you're not a member of a tribe, that I'm not 100% sure about. I had heard that if you don't know the tribe's name, you could put just the name of the community was one of the suggestions. But like my example, if I were living here in Wrangell, but I wasn't a member of the Wrangell Cooperative Association, I was a member of the tribe in Cake, I would put Cake down. So whichever tribe you're a member of is what you would answer in question nine.
And it's basically how you want to identify yourself. I mean, that's the key. It's completely how you want to identify yourself. So if you want to say you're Scottish, then you can say you're Scottish.
But can you?
Yes. Well, the question in here is, what is your race? So you, it's how you identify what your race is.
Yeah.
European. If that's, you know, I mean, it's, if you're from Japan, Japanese. I mean, it's entirely how you identify yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, yeah, if you are Native, does it, I mean, on the census, it's going to ask you if you are Native American, or is it going to specify Alaska Native?
I think that, let me just
Yeah, it specifies American Indian or Alaska Native. It asks
together.
To mark that box, yes. Okay. And then it asks you to be more specific for the tribe.
Yeah, okay, this sounds great. Okay, and then, you know, other than that, you've mentioned that there is Census Day, April 1st. You can go to the tribe. You can also go to the Salvation Army if you need help filling that out. You know, tell me again, I mean, what are the barriers to people filling this out? The form seems, you said it's only 10 questions, but why do people feel that it's a burden or it's... Or they're just not comfortable with it?
I think a lot of people, just because of this distrust of the federal government, they're not comfortable answering personal questions with them. But again, as Esther said, it's less questions than what you're being asked for on your permanent fund dividend. So it's basically, they're going to ask how many people live in your household. They're going to ask if it's being rented or you own it. They're going to ask if it's... they will ask for your telephone number, which you have the option to provide or not. I can just go through the list. How many people are living in the home on April 1st? And then they start asking identifying each person in the home. So the first number, person number one, would be whoever you deem to be a person. And again, as Esther had mentioned about the tribal or mixed homes, if you put a tribal member first, and that whole household will be considered tribal. If you put them second, and the other spouse or partner as number one, then it won't be. So that's something to consider when you're answering that in mixed race households. But then it asks for the person's sex. It asks for the person's age and their date of birth. And then it will ask about their race. And there's a couple different questions that get at the race. And so that's, I think, what people can, at the library and the tribe and the Salvation Army, we can help with. We can't answer for you. They need to be able to sit there either at the computer or on their form and answer it themselves, but to at least explain what the intent of that question is so that they can then answer it properly. And then it goes through each household member. You answer the question for the same for each member. And that's it.
Absolutely. And then, what if somebody doesn't fill out their form and return it? What do people need to know?
Okay. So what will be happening is the packets will be left on the doorsteps for at each household. And if you don't get one because you're on a live aboard and haven't been found, you can still come in and respond to the census, even if you don't get a packet. So make sure you do that. But what will happen is towards the end of April and into May, if folks haven't responded, then individuals that have been hired by the census will start going door to door. And these folks have taken oaths. All the information remains confidential, but they're there to basically take your responses and answer, or to at least say, did you get the packet? Will you fill it out and mail it in? And so a lot of these will be people you know. Mm-hmm. So we hope that doors won't be slammed in their face and they won't be treated poorly, because most of them should be from Wrangell. And they have, I think, up to six times to revisit that household in order to encourage people to respond. And then I think the last day of responding is July 30th.
Okay. All right. So, yes, that is good for everybody to know that even if you don't fill out the form, hopefully you will still be counted and somebody will be coming to your house up to six times.
If you don't fill out the form, you won't be counted. Yeah, I mean, because nobody can fill it out for you. You have to fill it out yourself.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that is about it, unless you guys want to remind the listening public about dates that are important or anything they just should take away right now.
I just to reiterate why this is so important, because it really does help the communities provide housing, fund K-12 education, prepare for emergencies, build schools, roads, hospitals, libraries, and additional programs that aren't even mentioned here. I mean, it's really amazing all the different programs that are based off of a population count. So we really do encourage everyone to please respond.
Yes, and just remember that April 1st Census Day at the Tribe, the Salvation Army, and at the library. If anyone needs help on a day that is not April 1st, we are there from 8 to 4. We have one employee, Jana Wright, who has been specifically trained in the census, and we are just there to help assist all of our citizens in whichever ways they need.
And we will be doing some Facebook posts on the Wrangell Community Board and on the City of Wrangell's Facebook site. And I think some of the other organizations have done so as well. So there will be resources there. If you want more information to look it up yourself, you can go to alaskacounts.org. And they have a wealth of information of, what programs are impacted, why it's so important. Probably can explain it a lot better than I have. But we'll be putting some posters out as well to identify where to go, who to contact, if they do have questions. And yeah, we'll try to make it as easy as possible for everyone.
All right, Esther and Carol, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, so the time is 1:19. As always, we will be back next week with another guest. See you then.